All right, and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church on this Wednesday, the 22nd of April. It's a beautiful sunny morning. I hope it's a beautiful sunny day by the time you're listening to this service. We're very glad to have you with us this morning. We wish we could actually have you with us this morning or this evening, but we'll just make do in the meantime. Might not be with you in body, but we're with you in spirit. So, amen. And the Word of God says that God is a spirit, and those that love him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we're here because we love the Lord, and we're going to have a good time in Christ. Let's close our eyes and pray. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. Lord, there are only two of us here this morning, so I pray your good hand upon us as we worship you. And Lord, as each soul tunes in or spins up that CD or clicks on that link on the internet, that you would bless those souls as well. Please, Lord, open our understanding. And please, Lord, I pray you supply our needs this morning. I do pray especially, Lord, for Ling and Frank and Dr. Shang, for John and Will, for Christine and Marianne. Pray as well, Lord, for Rita, and for Elaine and Hilary. Remember Esther and Christy, Lord, please bless and keep. For Norman, I pray that you would tend to him at this time. For Pat and Steve, and a very special prayer request for Mrs. Quigley, a lifelong family friend who's just not doing very well. Remember also Carol and John and Stephen, Lord. I pray your good hand upon also our Church of Maboy Road, as I've come to call it, Lord. I just remember Noel and Norman and Joan. Terence McLaughlin, Lord. Pray for Jane. Pray for Carol and Harold, or Harry and Marie. Remember as well, Lord, Stephen and Anne Marie. For Henry and Evelyn. Pray you too, Lord, for Sally and Sammy and Kate, for Alan Leslie, and for Pearl Hetherington, Lord. We know, Father, there are many other souls that we need to bear in mind. We have parents, we have brothers and sisters, we have sons and daughters and grandchildren. And Father, please, I pray your good hand upon them, upon our country, upon, Lord, the world at the moment. And I pray you, Father, for grit to be found in people's lives, Lord, that maybe if we do have to tighten our belts or pull up our socks, that, Father, we would understand it's not the end of the world. It might be the end of the way we used to do things, and, Lord, it could be the beginning of a new life, a new world with you. Please, Lord, watch over us and keep us. And, Lord, I pray for the leaders of not just our own country, but, Lord, of all the countries in the world, that wisdom would be found in their decisions, that people would open their eyes not just to an empty belly for one day, Lord, but a continuing life in the future. They wouldn't just be concerned about what happens before they get to the end of their nose, Lord, but what happens afterwards. Please bless and keep those that are working hard to contain or treat those with the virus. And the only half a dozen names that I have is Rachel and Andrea and Emma and Gemma, Susan, Mr. Marzouk and Mr. Goodwani, Lord, all of those, and Ahmed, Lord, as well, those doctors and nurses that were in Ward 32 when I was there, they're all the names that I can think of. Please save souls, Lord. Please edify the saints, and please help us this morning. I'm just so glad to be able to be here. The church is only around the corner, and even though each of you folks isn't here, We're glad, we're happy, joyful to be able to do this for you. Thank you for being with us. Thank you, Lord, for watching over us. Cleanse us and refresh us and open our understanding. Help us, Lord, as we take a little bit closer of a step to walking with you. We ask all this, Lord, and of course our many private prayer requests and petitions. We don't forget our missions, missionaries that we know, and the societies that are fighting the corner of Christianity. We think especially on the Christian Institute, Open Doors, Lord. We don't forget these people. And I pray especially for Paul Forrest at this time as well. Look after Brother Stan and the folks up in Bangor. And please, Lord, I pray you, let your will be done. We love you and praise you and ask it all in the name, again, of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. All right. We're going to take our hymn books and sing Revive Us Again, 343. As before, if at any time your fingers aren't cooperating and you're finding it difficult turning the pages, you can just press the pause button until you get there and then press the play. Don't forget to press the play button again and join with us. Revive Us Again, 343. We are going to bring you our Bible reading this morning. Thank you, Brother Steve, for 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In my Bible, it calls this chapter the Way of Love. I just like to call it the love chapter of the Bible. That doesn't mean you go all gushy and your pupils dilate and your heart starts beating faster, but this is I would have to say the most proper definition of love, not lust or desire, but love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning at verse number 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, that's love, giving love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave herself unseemly, and seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things.
Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. And whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Amen. It's a funny thing, but whenever I read those verses now, I think of Stan's little girl, faith, hope, charity. Amen. Don't know of too many little girls that are called faith, hope, charity. I know one's called hope, and I know of one called charity, and I know of one called faith, but not all of them together. So, amen. That's for you, faith. Amen. Right. We are going to take a moment or two and just remind you of a few announcements, and then we're going to serenade you with another verse of scripture. First of all, we mentioned in prayer already whenever we were mentioning the names of the folks that we normally see in church, that Pat and Steve have a long-time family friend. I believe she's way up in her 90s, Mrs. Quigley. And she's not doing very well. She's suffering from a few things due to her advanced years, and she had to go into hospital, I think it was yesterday or the day before. So if you would pray for her, I don't know the state of her soul. I pray that she is saved. That tends to be more the case with the previous generations. But please do pray for her and for her family at this particular time. I would ask also that you would bear in mind some of our neighbours to the church. That's Noel and Joan and Norman, their son. They live on the very first bungalow on the right-hand side as you come into the Maboy Road. And please also pray for a fella called Terence McLaughlin. He's a wee man that farms up on the first lane. He's got a farm up the first lane on the left on the Maboy Road as you come up from the golf club. So please do pray for Terence. We've already mentioned everybody else in the church. I am sure we, each one of us, have lost friends and even family members and loved ones that don't yet know you as the Lord as Saviour. So please do remember them. And I am sure we all have private prayer requests too. So please do call those out as well. Is there anything else, Mrs. Bradfield? Just pray for sense to rain. And pray for the number of deaths due to this viral outbreak to be kept to an absolute minimum. I pray that in these days when people are just not used to and don't like to take instruction, that common sense would prevail, even though it is a bit in short supply in many corners. Please do pray for the leaders of our country. Please do pray for Britain and America. Please do pray for China and Russia, North and South Korea, Australia, Japan, Canada, Africa, South America. I can't think of any other countries right now, but where most importantly we are told to pray for Israel and to bless the Jews. So make sure you do that, because God's original promise way back in the book of Genesis was never rescinded. He said, them that bless you shall be blessed, he said to Abraham, and them that curse you shall be cursed. So just be careful what you say about Israel and the Jews. God loves us all and wants the best for us. And I pray that this message will be a help to you and an encouragement to you. But please do remember prayer requests. We're going to have another wee word of prayer, and then we will sing for you again. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you again, Father, for the open invitation to come before your throne, to present all our prayer requests and petitions.
And I just thank you, Lord, that we can, Lord, that we can lift the burdens of our cares and worries from off of our own shoulders and leave them at your feet. And you have promised, Lord, that the peace that passeth all understanding will keep our hearts and minds whenever we do that. In Philippians chapter 4, Lord, there are just some verses that mean so much that we need every day. Please, Lord, work in the hearts and minds of those that are at a bit of a loose end at this particular time. Please show them things to do, treasures, Lord, from your word, Lord, and the joy and the power to be had in keeping company with you in prayer. I pray especially, Lord, for Francis Cosgrave, for the kids for schools, very especially for Paul Forrest, Lord, who is not keeping well at all. And we pray you too for, the other ones that Steve supports, whose names have just slipped my mind right now, but for not just those, Lord, but for all the Christian outreaches that are out there in the world, helping people to get off their knees and get back on their feet, to look above the things of this world and to see you. Please, Lord, I pray. We know there are others in Northern Ireland, and we do pray for them, Lord. Pray as well, Lord, for the preachers, for Brother Stan. We pray for Brother Bissett. I pray you too, Lord, for Julian Robinson, for Johnny Crane, for his sister too, Lord. She's not a preacher, but we've been praying for her for years. Please do look after her, Lord. Pray you for Ian Brown, and did we mention Johnny Campbell? Please, Lord, these are the preachers that I know. They're saved. I pray you, Lord, that you would inspire. That's in Northern Ireland. Pray, Lord, that you would inspire each one of them to take the King James and the full counsel of it, Lord, and preach it to whosoever will. I remember, too, Pastor Hain and Pastor Asquith and the folks in Black Creek. Lord, Pastor Isaacson and the folks in Grace. And, Lord, please do put your hand upon Pastor Fox down there in North Carolina. I remember as well Travis Snowd, the Randalls, the Smiths, and we pray you, Lord, for your good hand upon all of those, again, that claim you as Saviour and as Lord and are preaching your word, that you would put your good hand upon them. Touch them, Lord, with your finger and just make your presence known to each one of us, Lord, so that we preach the clear and the simple, unadulterated word of God. Please save souls in these dark days. Please, Lord, give people a wee taste of heavenly wisdom. And, Lord, we just love you and thank you. And pray you, Lord, that you would continue to be the third member in our service this morning. The third, fourth, and fifth members in our church service this morning. Thank you for salvation, Lord. Thank you for the conviction of the Holy Ghost. Lord, for the good sense to repent of my sins and to trust you as Saviour. And, Lord, we love you and thank you. And pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Sometimes there ends up like a lot of people that you need to pray for. Amen. All right, let's see what hymn number 327 will be our next hymn. 327, that is Higher Ground.
You hide from me, meaning every day.
higher ground. That was the hymn that really came to mind as I was writing the notes for the message and preparing for the service this morning. We are in the book of Matthew, if you would like to take and turn there. Matthew chapter 16 this morning. Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse number 1, and we're going to read a dozen of these verses of scriptures. Reading from verses 1 to 12 in Matthew chapter 16, and I want to spend a little bit of time on the subject of extraordinary. Amen. The Word of God says, "The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting desired him, that is Jesus, that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. And when the disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It's because we have taken no bread. Which, when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand? I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then understood they how he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Amen. That is our reading. There are a number of verses between verses 5 and 12 that we are taking as our text this morning. And we're wanting to spend a little bit of time on the subject of extraordinary. We're going to have a quick word of prayer and then we're going to go. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again. Please give us the words to give me the words to say, and let them fall on good ground this morning or this evening or just whenever. Bless our time together. Please, Lord, set a wall around each soul. Give each one the time and the breathing space to spend this time in your presence around your word. Just love you and praise you, Lord. Cleanse us and refresh us. Point us in the right direction. Most of all, Lord, don't be done with us. Love you and praise you. Ask it all in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Yes, indeed. It's not that long. We're not going to read those verses again, but this portion of God's word, this takes place just after the second time that Jesus fed thousands of people. This time the word of God says 4,000 men plus women and children just off of a wee boy's packed lunch. And then he hops into a boat and he is off to Magdala. And sadly, along with all the people that wanted to hear about Jesus, there always came the scribes and the Pharisees. They were always wanting to try and trip him up, to try and refute the fact that he was the God-chosen great high priest of the kingdom of Israel. In fact, the great high priest of any soul that would want to be saved and go to heaven. So they say to him, go and do something. Do a trick for us. so that we will know that you are from God. And this is in spite of the many, many miracles that the Lord did, already proving that he was God, but not only that, of the many prophecies that his very presence fulfilled, proving, as far as even history was concerned, that he was God. So the Lord says to them, you know, you guys, you are so penny wise and pound foolish. Get all these tiny little details just absolutely right. I think he said to them one time, he called them hypocrites. He said, you go into your wife's bacon cupboard and you tithe even of the spices that she uses, but you forget the weightier matters of the law, of forgiveness, of salvation, of all of these things. And he says to them, you're so short-sighted, but yet in all you can look up at the sky and you can tell if it's going to be a good day or a bad day. If it's a, you know, saying, if it's a red sky at night, shepherd's delight. In other words, it's going to be a good day tomorrow, or at least a clear day, depending on what neck of the woods that you're in. And if it's going to be a red sky in the morning, it's going to be a bad day. You can look around at the sky and tell that. How is it that you can't look around and see the way the world is right now and understand what shape it's in? How is it that you can't do that? So anyway, that seems to be the end of that. And the disciples and the Lord, they hop in their boat again and head home. And as they get to the other side, they're talking about their bellies, their packed lunches. They said, you know what, we've forgotten our lunch. And Jesus says, beware of the leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees. And now Jesus is talking about the teaching of religious people, as opposed to, sadly, the teachings of the Bible, because many times the teachings of even our contemporary religions fly in face of the Bible. Or they intersect at certain points, but they tend to fly in the face of the Word of God. And the disciples say, oh, he's telling us about this because we've forgotten our bread. And Jesus says, hold on a wee second. Are you that forgetful? Are you that short-sighted? Are you that faithless that you have forgotten already that from a packed lunch twice, we were able to feed 5,000 men, not counting women and children. And then, shortly afterwards, from pretty much the same again, we were able to feed 4,000 men, not counting women and children. Maybe 15,000 or 20,000 people each time. Do you know what? If you're going to feed 4,000 or 5,000 people from a packed lunch, it's not a big stretch to feed 15,000 or 20,000 people from the same packed lunch. He says, have you forgotten that already? I'm warning you about the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. He said, aim a little bit higher. Don't be worrying about an empty belly for a minute or two. We're talking about empty homes in heaven. You know the way the Bible says in John 14, the Lord said, in my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. Well, if people thought more about those empty mansions instead of their empty bellies or empty pockets, Maybe things would be a little bit better. I got to thinking as I was reading this, how quickly the minds of the disciples moved from the power of God and its very real ability to affect people in this world right here and at that particular time, to the feeding of thousands of people to an actual packed lunch. Instead of stepping from the packed lunch to the feeding of the 5,000, miracles and the preaching of the cross whilst they were there, they went from the feeding of the 5,000 back to a packed lunch. They went from the extraordinary to the ordinary. And it is astounding. It is astounding how quickly they did that. It is amazing how quickly they went from their normal everyday lives, and we're just talking in general, to walking and talking with God, God in the flesh. And and listening to his words. And remember what Peter said. He said, Lord, where else are we going to go? Regardless of what everybody else says, thou hast the words of eternal life. It wasn't the miracles that saved souls. It's the word of God that saves souls. But they walked with God every single day of their lives, well, for 3 years. And they saw him cast out demons. And they saw him heal the sick. Sure, even Peter's mother-in-law was raised from her sick bed. He saw him make the maimed whole. And I don't know if that means withered arms grew back or people with no arms and legs grew back. But you know what? Still a miracle to me. He caused the blind to see and the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. He caused the dead to walk again. He refuted the teachings of the scribes and the Pharisees, and even the very elements obeyed what he said. The laws of physics were even subject to him, remember, as he walked on the water. And this must have seemed just ordinary to them. So ordinary that they could slip from, oh, the Lord just fed 10, 15, 20,000 people to, oh, we've forgotten to bring our lunch with us. What are we going to do? On the one hand, it's very sad that they had become so used to walking and talking with the Lord that this should become ordinary. And they could slip so simply back to thinking about an empty belly. It's the same for us as Christians. It's very sad that we get used to being saved. Especially when you think of having all our sins reviewed by God and having the Holy Spirit convict you of them and then having Jesus pay for each and every one of each and every person's sins in the world and then us repenting of our sins and turning away from them and the Holy Spirit taking up residence in that space left in our hearts. It's amazing that we get so used to having our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Having our feet, quite literally, spiritually at least, lifted from the broad road that leads to destruction and set on the straight and narrow road that leads to life. Having a home reserved for us in heaven. Having the angels of heaven dispatched to us daily and maybe even sometimes hourly to minister to us. It's what the Word of God says they are, ministering spirits. What about having the attention of God at any moment of the day or night? Or having the Lord Jesus Christ, the man that gave his life for us on the cross of Calvary, fighting our corner every time we mess up and every time the devil comes pointing his finger at us. We get used to having the assurance of our home in heaven because Christ said he would keep us in the palm of his hand. We have Christians, Bible believing, born again Christians have the greatest of purposes. And how do I know what that is? Because it's the one that God always chose for himself when he walked in this world. It was the saving of souls. It was the one that God had when he lived with us and walked with and talked with us. We have all those things. And you would think that that would never get old or ordinary, but for many it does. And let me tell you, it's not an ordinary life. It's not because it is ordinary. But we just get used to having those things. It's the nature of man. That's why the phone companies make so much money. Because they introduce a new model that people think their lives will not be complete without. If only they treated the Word of God that way and the Lord Jesus Christ. We start taking things for granted as if it's our right, as if through some merit of our character or our deeds that we are owed these things. And then we stop. We just stop. And sometimes we even slide back. Almost, in fact, a worse condition than we were before we were saved because we knew better and our lives will be wasted. And in our attempts to make ourselves happy instead of making ourselves holy, we fail to remember that only going on with God will do that for us. But the great thing about one hand is that there is the other hand. We shouldn't stop there. The disciples momentarily stopped there. It was only a blip on their radar. And they were still learning. So let us learn from their example and not stop there with these, what I would call foundational things. But we should be taking those things, using them as a foundation, the things that God has given us, and go onwards and upwards. In the words of the song, Attaining New Heights Every Day, the one we just sang there before we started. At the risk of using another hymn title, we should be seeking a closer walk with God. That might be a good one to finish the service on tonight, today. And you might find it odd, or you might turn your back and roll your eyes when I say this next bit. We ought to be looking for a life when we hear the voice of God in our lives. I want to qualify that. Many years ago, whenever I worked, and it is many years ago, it's nearly 18 years ago, whenever I worked for Desmond's programming computers and fixing them and building them and teaching other people how to use them. When people would come to me with a problem, I immediately, in my head, unconsciously, because I was so used to writing the programs, I would start writing the program in my head. I would be thinking in code. They say, if you're real programmers, you're not supposed to do that. But that's nonsense. Real programmers do actually do that. And the more that you walk and talk with God, the more that you read and pray and commit to your heart the word of God, the more that those verses of scripture will pop up in your everyday lives. When people say things, a verse of scripture appropriate to that, what's just been spoken about, will pop into your mind. Whenever you see things happening, verses of scripture that are appropriate to that will pop into your mind. That is God speaking to you through the scriptures. That is the Holy Spirit reminding you of whether it's right or wrong. We should be using all the things that God has given us and looking and striving for a closer walk with Thee. We should be aiming for a stronger stand with the Lord. I know many times we have referred to the Lord speaking to us in our lives as the still small voice of the Lord. Like the Lord spoke to Elijah, and it wasn't in the wind or the earthquake or the fire, but when all those things had passed, it was in the still small voice. Do you know what, friends? Someday you might be that still small voice speaking in the middle of a storm of angry, unchurched, lost voices. Would you be able to do that in the face of hundreds and thousands going a different way? How's about going on to a life of overcoming power when all the things that seemingly so easily derail people's lives, you are able to conquer because your life is not based on those things, but on the Word of God, on the very God of the Bible, based upon that Jesus Christ who gave His life for you on the cross. Because no matter where you are, how much money you have, your education, your age, or your health, you can never lose Jesus, and He will certainly never lose you. And if you do things God's way, you will find that so many of the things, oh, I have a problem with alcohol, I have a problem with drugs, I have a problem with this, that, and the other. When you put God in their place, you won't have a problem with that thing anymore. Yes, it takes work and it takes practice and it takes learning. But then so does anything that you want to excel at. The Word of God says you can have a life with peace that passeth all understanding. It doesn't mean that worries and troubles and woes are not going to come your way, but when they do, you and God can deal with them. Not just you on your own, but God Almighty, if you tell Him about them. You can have the certainty that everything will work out for the best. Did you know that many saved souls in this world, their lives are not working out? Oh yes, they're saved. And they'll repeat that verse, everything will work out for the best, but they almost forget the last bit. To them that love the Lord, that's the first bit, those that are saved. The rest of Romans 8:28 says, to them that are the called according to his purpose. In other words, when you're doing things God's way. Because you will see the promise in Matthew 11, the last few verses, that when you take God's yoke upon you, you will find rest unto your soul. For his yoke is easy and his burden is light. What about the wisdom to contend with the world? Oh, if I don't drink, smoke, sleep around, do drugs, tell dirty stories, use bad language, I'm not going to have any friends. Whose are not your friends? That portion of God's word that we read in 1 Corinthians 13, friends will love you and want the best for you. But so-called friends that won't be your friends unless you're drinking, smoking, doing drugs, sleeping around, etc., etc., they're only rejoicing in not being reminded about God and in the thrill of rebelling against him. Sometimes the wisdom of God seems like foolishness to the world. But let me tell you, I've never found it to fail me once. I find the wisdom of the world has failed me many, many times, but the word of God has never failed me. You will find yourself with a concern and a passion for lost souls. So much so that just like Jesus Christ, whenever he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do on the cross, you will be able to look past slights and insults and even injuries because you're doing the work of God. You're seeking and saving lost souls. And it's nothing. Someone calling you a Bible thumper, that's a compliment, Christian. Someone calling you a Holy Joe, that's a compliment. Even to be called a Mormon is a compliment. Whenever you're seeking and saving lost souls. When you find yourself prepared to trust in the Lord with all your heart and to lean not on your own understanding, you will find yourself a little bit like Peter whenever he asked the Lord to, if it was okay if he came to him on the water. And he says, come on ahead, Peter. You will find yourself in uncharted territory, even for many saved souls, even for many Christians. The number of times I had a minister come up to me one time, a retired minister, as we went round the doors on the water side, and he said, who gave you the authority? Excuse me. Who gave you the authority to put those leaflets in my door? And I said, really? Really? It's Jesus said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I had another, a Methodist minister, I think it was, come up to me in the Crescent Link car park when we were doing a wee bit of open air preaching. He says, you shouldn't be doing that. And I said, well, you should. What are you up to? And he says, I'm up driving my wife to do shopping on a Sunday. Another minister's wife came storming across the road when I put a gospel tract through her door. How dare you put that in through my door? Really? Later confided in me that they have the most bother with born-agains. That lets you know where a lot of these so-called full-time Christian workers, what work they're actually doing. When you're prepared to put your trust in the Lord and turn your back on conventional and even worldly wisdom, you will see a whole new world light up. You will do impossible things just like Peter did. Even with other Christians trying to hold you back. Can you imagine all the rest of the disciples sitting in that boat and the storm and them maybe holding on for dear life for fear of being pitched out of the boat and maybe bailing it out. And Peter jumps over the side. Can you imagine them just trying to grab him and save his life? But they didn't have to because the Lord already had him in the palm of his hand, quite literally, and in his power. On the other hand, you could be opening your mouth whenever God's word needs to be heard and letting God put the words there. He has promised them. These are the verses that have put me behind the pulpit. And these are the verses that put me round the doors and put me in the street corners and in the centre of the town. He said, whenever they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak. For in that same moment it shall be given unto you what ye shall say, and it'll not be ye that speaks, but the Holy Spirit that speaks within you. And I'm paraphrasing there just a little bit. What about the power to do that? What about trusting in the Lord God Almighty to give you the words? Without any guarantee except, and it is a guarantee, that it is written in His word and it has been secured with His blood, His power and His promise, and the blood of many saints and martyrs down through the 2,000 years since it was finished. You trust the Lord to whisper in your ear what you should preach, what you should say to a soul. Would you trust in the Lord to help you get by with tithing, with giving 10% of what you get at the start of every week and putting that into the church? Are you prepared to trust the Lord with that? Because whenever you trust the Lord with everything else, it's not a problem to tithe. It's not a problem to preach. It's not a problem to spend a half an hour or an hour in prayer and wake up as if you had had 3 or 4 hours of a snooze, but also the joy of the company, of the fellowship with God and a little bit of guidance. And these are only the things that came to my mind. There is so much more. The picking of a proper spouse, the teaching of your children properly, the proper way to order your family, to order your church, to order your steps, to order your closet. The things that you should wear and shouldn't wear, places that you should go and shouldn't go. All of these things and so much more are there whenever you, there for you. The guidance on them whenever you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know sometimes that whenever we read about these things, and if you ever get a chance to read some of the old biographies of the old saints like William Carey and Adoniram Judson and Robert Mueller, men of God that miraculous things happened to, that they were at the very center of. One of the ones that springs to mind always with Robert Mueller was whenever he was running the orphanages and they had no food, no milk, no bread. And all the kids sat at the table and George prayed, "Thank you, Lord, for this food." And there wasn't a bite anywhere. And he was hardly done whenever the door went. And the baker said, "The Lord put it upon my heart to get up early this morning and to bake all this bread for you. Here you are." And another one, the milk cart broke down outside of the orphanage. And the milkman came in and said, "Take all this milk because it'll go off by the time the milk cart is sorted." We think, wouldn't it be great for those things to happen today? Do you know what, friends? God is no respecter of persons. He is no respecter of persons. You say, what about the disciple whom Jesus loved? It wasn't that Jesus said that he loved him more. It was that people said that Jesus loved him more, because any time any of them ever turned up, John was there. John cared about Jesus. And that's why he was called the disciple whom Jesus loved. I'm sure you'll say, well, that sounds great. I want to be able to walk on water. I want to be able to do the impossible. I would love for to be, whenever I'm put in the spot, and the number of times that I am, whenever I'm out with friends, and I keep going away with a red face, I would love to do all those things. How do I do it? How come I've been missing so much of this? Well, going from very first principles, first thing you have to realize is that you're a sinner and in the presence of a thrice holy God. Have you asked God to save your soul? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you turned your back on your sin? Have you made space in your heart for the Holy Spirit to take up residence? Might seem very complicated. Let me simplify it for you. Prayer that saved my soul. Sorry. The prayer that I prayed when Christ saved my soul was, Lord, you know I'm a sinner. And Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And these people know nothing about me. Would you please save me? And I meant it from the bottom of my heart. And I've been saved for over 31 years. 31 years and I think about 3 days. That's what it takes. You need to be saved. So have you asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior? No. Well, do it. Doesn't have to be in church. There are stories of people getting saved in McDonald's and in a car seat, the side of their bed. Just do it. Anywhere will do it. But not any time will do it. Don't presume upon the long suffering of God to give you another day, for the Christian circles are replete with many instances where people got saved just moments before their lives were over. You don't want to presume that your life will go on indefinitely. So your soul's saved. How do I go on to the point where I feel the presence of God, where I know the will of God for my life, where God is answering my prayers and I'm being an answer to other people's prayers? Well, the answer is simple. You just do what God says. Present your body a living sacrifice. Give your time. Give at least some of your time to God. I know there's things we need to do, but give some of your time to God. Listen to what he says. Best place to start's in the Gospels. You actually have the words of Jesus Christ as he spoke to people like you and me. Just listen to what he says. And if you are reading the Bible with and spending any length of time, sit down with a notebook, write down verses that jump out at you, commit them to your memory. Goodness, we're none of us that far gone that repeating a Bible verse 10 or 15 times won't secure it in our hearts. That's all you got to do. Those verses that I mentioned to you that meant so much to me, those were the first gospel, the Gospel of Matthew. That's where I started learning Bible verses, and they spoke to me. They changed me for the better. You know, it sounds easy, but whenever you get to it, you think, goodness, my Bible's like an inch and a half thick. There's 1,800 pages in it. No one's asking you to become an adult overnight. We don't expect that of our own children. God doesn't expect it of his. But start. It's like practicing anything new. You have to learn. You have to put it into operation. You have to practice. I remember one time many years ago, a conductor, famous conductor, was asked, how do I get to Carnegie Hall, where all the great musicians at least used to play? And he said, practice, practice, practice. And that's what we need to do. You got to listen and learn. And I will promise you, because the Lord God Almighty, the author of the Word of God, has promised anyone in the Word of God, that if you pay attention to what the Bible says, let the Holy Spirit put the pieces together in your heart and mind, you will find that everything works together for good. You will find that the extraordinary supernatural life that Jesus lived with his disciples can be yours. I'm not talking about you healing the sick and raising the dead and things like that, but the things his disciples did, the Lord said, look, the things that I did, you will do, and greater than these will you do, because I go to be with the Father. And God will give you, even you, Christian, that has stopped in your tracks, and let the grass grow over that path that God cleared for you at one point in your life, you will find your fellowship with God so much better. The power of God in your life is so much more evident. That your life is more fulfilling, that you have peace and overcoming power in your heart and soul and mind, the sort that only God can give. It is an interesting and thrilling life. Sometimes just waiting to see what God is going to do and jumping up and down and clapping your hands whenever he does it. And the one other thing that a Christian can have, if they really want, when their life is over, is no regrets. Because when it all comes right down to it, every single thing and every achievement that we have here, we will leave here. But all of those things that we do for God, when he asks us to do them, will be remembered in heaven forever. And the souls that were touched and the souls that were saved, they are remembered forever. If you want to live an extraordinary life, do what most people don't. Get down on your hands and knees. Ask Jesus to be your Savior. Accept him as your Lord. Do what he says. And watch a much better life unfold before you. An extraordinary life. I could take and point you to the number of things. I remember a day sitting in my work around a big conference table, when my boss, who was a rabid anti-Christian so-and-so, he was just pointing at people and telling them, what did you do this month? What did you do this month? And I remember just for a moment, it was almost like the Lord took me to one side and said to me, do you want to be doing this in 5 years' time? And the image that I got was a ringmaster making little puppy dogs hop through hoops just like a circus. And I said, you know what, Lord? No, I don't. Says, the only problem, Lord, is I have no means of supporting myself. And the Lord said, we'll sort that out. And he did. And he's been sorting it out ever since. I remember the house that I first had. I remember with a friend in the car, a lost man. He's still a lost man. You pray for Clive. Driving past the house. And they were looking for 35,000 for it. No, they were looking for 32,000. I offered 30. It shows you how long ago that was. And somebody else had offered 31. They rang me and said, someone has offered 32,000. I said, that's fine. My offer stands at 30,000. The man that offered 31, he dropped out and went and bought another house. And the man that offered 32 couldn't get a mortgage, so they came back to me and said, would you offer 31 and we'll leave the carpets? The funny thing about it is, I said to my friend as I drove past the house one day, I will have that house. Not because I was good, but because I was trusting in the Lord. I remember having an interesting time with my old boss that really didn't like me because of what Christians represented, accountability for bad behavior. And he just had it in for me, had a knife out for me. He had a knife out for everybody that wouldn't bow and scrape to him, and that's just not me. And he delayed for months, nearly a year or more, a review of my work, my job title, my work and my pay scheme. In the end of it all, I said to him, David, it's about time we had this job review. He said, there's more people to be reviewed than you. He says, I don't care about other people. It's my job and I want my job reviewed. So we sat down and we had a little bit of a tense job review. And I said, and you know, after we worked our way through everything, I said, you know what, David, I have no problem working the extra hours, but I want to make sure that if any damage happens to my car whilst I am out working extra hours, that the company will pay for it. He said, no. Well, then I want to make sure that if I have to go to another factory out of ours, that there will be a company car here for me. And he said, no. In a meeting some time later with everybody, he says,
I don't know what it is about you guys, but everybody wants to give you guys a company car. And I knew right there and then that all of the people that I had helped with their computers and all of the people that I had helped with their work down through the years and just been a good Christian to, they were all of the ones that were taking the final vote on my wages and my pay level. And David, my boss, had to come back to me and say, I don't know what it is with you, Mark, but you're getting a company car. And I nearly laughed in his face because he told me I wasn't getting a company car. He said, it'll be in 6 months. I said, that's fine, I'm changing the car in 6 months anyway. At the end of the week, he said, you can pick your car up tomorrow. And it nearly choked him to have to do it because he had been steamrollered by God and by things that had been put in progress years previous. This is the way God works. But do you see whenever you're there? Do you see when the victory is laid in your lap? Do you see when you know it could only be God? It is such a thrill to know the Saviour and to know Him as your Lord. Anyway, I've gone on a little bit. I appreciate your time and attention. Those things that God has done for me has done so much since. Those are the least of them. But they were great. They were great fun. They were thrilling and they were encouraging. And you can have them too if you will let God lead you and make a point of following Him. Amen. Amen. All right. We're going to sing our closing hymn. Did you find that hymn number? 397. Was that one of the ones we were singing already today, was it? 397? 319. Just a closer walk with thee. All right. 319.
Jesus, give me from all wrong.
good time and attention. Mrs. Bradfield and I would like to let you know that we're thinking on you and praying for you, not just in the services, but every day, between the two of us, multiple times in the day. We want the very best for you too, but you'll get the very, very best, A, when you accept Christ as your Saviour, and B, whenever you do what he says, accept him as your Lord. He's not a difficult taskmaster. He loves his children, and he'll never ask you to do anything that's harder than you can do. He will never ask you to do anything that he won't provision you for. And you will be thrilled to bits to serve him and to see him working not just in your life, but in other lives too. Anyway, look forward to seeing you soon, maybe in a couple of weeks' time, if quarantines, etc., get lifted. Just pray for those souls that are suffering right now, that even those that are about to step into eternity, that they would remember a Sunday school song or a sermon or even just a verse of scripture that would bring them to the foot of the cross at their hour of need. Please do pray for the families of those that have lost loved ones during this viral outbreak, not just in Northern Ireland and the UK, but right the way across the world. Please do pray for souls to be saved, for people to have their eyes open, and to make the very best use of this quarantine time. Please do pray for me, that I survive living with my wife when this passed. A little bit lighter. Found out that I can't just take peanut butter anymore, and Monica used to make these lovely breakfast biscuits with oats and fruit and peanut butter in them, and I would have two or three every day, and they were sickening me. So pray that I survive my wife's tender mercies. This is great. You know where it says in the Bible that women are not supposed to talk in church? This is great, but wait, you don't hear the recording of what happens afterwards. Anyway, I'm thankful for her. I would be in a lot worse shape if it wasn't for her these past few months. God bless you. Have a good day in Christ, and we will look forward to being in touch soon. Heavenly Father, please see us safely home, around the doors as we put the CDs and whatnot in. And Lord, that you would please take and use this as a time of refreshing and strengthening. We love you and thank you. We ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. See you next week, folks. God bless you.